Friends, I'm turning this morning to the book of Numbers, chapter 21, and I begin with verse 4. So Numbers, chapter 21, and verse 4. And they, this is the people of Israel, journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Now friends, we're thinking of how God in mercy deals with us through the Lord Jesus Christ. But this brings our thoughts to how we can all be cornered by unbelief. Unbelief can so corner us until we become very, very advanced in sin and all manner of wickedness. Oh, my dear friends, these are quite solemn things. But this is about the people of Israel journeying from Egypt to the Promised Land. And you know that the Bible tells us that that journey was supposed to be spiritual lessons to us too. It was literal, it was history, something that did occur. But the Bible tells us that as you read that history, watch for spiritual lessons, because they teach us things about God and about how we relate to Him and how He deals with us also. If a seer said there Israel for no it took cry if Egypt a call Kenya as a sian so Raja some catch and say so quaint you know na ADC young kasa a history abacosma ne dao de and so say a king kaya Raja some chair and say yes she say or train bibi efa nyan kupon and a young kasa krahu and a bibi efa nyan kupon and kwajehu and so tia shano and opes efa obekaye efa said the young kupon de a cra a banning chain. It's unsaid, and any name she can say, Bakunti Rade, and may record this in some way. And so, friends, that one of the chief purposes, of course, of this record was to reveal to us the way of salvation. And so, we'll see that very clearly here. And so, friends, I guess straight away into the narrative, what happened, and then we'll try to see some of these lessons that we draw from them. And so, back then, the passage again, and they, the people of Israel, journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Now, they were now going to travel for about 40 years. That was not the original intention, but I will explain briefly why it became so. So now they will have to travel for 40 years. Can you imagine getting up every day? And when you get up every day and you eat your breakfast or put on your clothes, the next thing you are waiting for is when to travel. And you are traveling by foot. And so that could be very tiresome and really discouraging. And so we are told that the people of Israel, this happened to them as they became tired. They were discouraged. The word translated discouraged them means that they became grieved. They were sad. Are we going to travel like this every day, waking up and walking? Of course, the Lord gave them times of rest, obviously. There were times the Lord gave them the pillar of cloud that determined when they traveled and when they rested. And so there were periods of rest, but it was still a very tiresome thing to get up every day, and your main task is to be journeying, walking, and getting along. And so this is quite a burden. And so the people sinned against God, verse 5. And the people spake against Moses, against God and against Moses, and they complained, saying these words, "Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread." And so you can, to some extent, if you don't know all the narrative, you can excuse them. They were tired, they were grieved, they've been traveling for far too long, and now they are so sad. And so they begin to complain, and they complain to Moses, against Moses and against God. And they bring charges against God. Telling him, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt? You should have left us there. And you shouldn't have brought us out at all." This is what they were saying. And every provision of the Lord so far has been ridiculed also. They're laughing off the provisions of the Lord. The Lord had given them manna to eat and provided all the way. And now they're saying, we are even fed up with this kind of food. You would say, well, this is only from people who are very tired. And so you can be sympathetic and say, well, don't take it too far, because they were grieved. And so they were. And so this is their sin, and we are told that the Lord will still be angry with them and bring a judgment upon them, my dear friends. Israel, for no more Elkono. Chenika Chen said, no, what Bumwe Boom. Ewa Quintin we send say it's almost sorry I'm a Fabiano Mutu Quinsa. What's there on pa? We did we up, we did we see my share up, and I said we started so one and say that the enka so you media. I said we what to our pension society. So they were discouraged. Or my bomwebu. And so much shall say some more complaining, or more kasa etia nyankopon na fisike etia Moses and so. Or more kasaya could do say nyankopon ayem ye kase krawaya moono, or more kasa tia. Amukasati nyankopon ji won fi Egypt mu ya kokka kokka se irade e kran ke jan wo Egypt ne yemre e wo hosa na afirade dia ne kro dia ma won mpo ma no dia ma won ene ene mo dia mo na fi mo e kasese afikra te se enye shikra e ma won. And so this is quite a sad case, isn't it? And God was angry with them. But my dear friends, one of the things that you have to notice is that they brought this upon themselves. Why did they have to travel all this time? They caused it. The people of Israel caused it. If you went back to chapter 13 and 14, they had come to a place called, in fact it is mentioned in our reading, they came to a place called Kadesh. We call it Kadesh Barnea. And this was just about 3 days' journey northward. They were to enter that promised land straight on. And then they themselves, according to Deuteronomy, they themselves told Moses, oh sir, in order for us to be sure this journey will be successful, let us send spies to go and look at the land and see whether it is a safe place to begin with. And so God agreed. And so they sent the spies, and the spies brought their reports, and they said that, you know, some of you know the narrative. There were 12 spies, 10 of them didn't really have faith in the Lord. Only 2 of them did have faith in God. And so when they went on, these spies came back, and 10 of them said, hey, this is a wonderful land. Every food is on the land, and every provision is on the land. Oh, but we can only live on that land. Because the people on it are too strong for us. They are like giants. They were like our grasshoppers before them. They will crush us into nothing. And so it's not good for us to go at all. The 2 said, no, no, no. If God is pleased with us, we can still take the land. So let's trust the Lord and go. They said, no, no, no. What are you saying? As people will say, let's be real. Let's be real. As if faith is not real. As if bringing God into issues is not real. It's so foolish when people say that. But that's what he said. Let's be real. We cannot fight the people. We can't. Period. Let's not go. And then they complain. You know, the next thing what they did, it's quite a sad event. The Bible says that all the elderly persons, can you imagine, all the fathers and mothers got up the next day in the morning, sat at the doorpost of their tents and began to weep. Can you see your daddy weeping? And daddy, what's wrong with you? They say, I should travel and I don't want to travel. They say, I should go to promise and I don't want to. Daddy is wiping his face. Because he doesn't want to travel. I'm sorry we are laughing at them. I'm sure we would have done the same thing. But anyway, so everybody was weeping. And so God, and they complained. And God said, okay, you don't want to go? You don't want to go to the promised land? You doubting me? You said I brought you here to kill you? I've heard you. Now you're not going forward anymore. Fetch a compass around Edom. So remember, look at what our first verse 4 read. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. Edom is in the east. It doesn't come in their journey. Now fetch a compass around Edom. And so they would travel backwards, right? As if they were heading towards the Red Sea, and then fetch eastwards, and then go on, travel further north, and then come through Moab, and then enter through Jericho. That's a long journey. And not only was it a long journey, God deliberately did that so that the time would be long enough for him to kill everyone in that generation that doubted him. And so for, they had traveled only about 2 years when this happened. So the next 38 years was actually intended to destroy them. It's solemn, isn't it? It makes you afraid. And that's what happened. They caused it. And so their discouragement at this time, they caused it. If they had gone on straight on, trusting the Lord, they would not have come to this point or be discouraged, you see. So friends, the lesson is this. Now, this is what people do.
some people, perhaps you are still old enough, and you're still not turning to the Lord. You don't want to trust Him. You don't want to use your life to Him and live a life of faith and dependence upon Him. Dear friends, this is what is happening. As life runs on, you would constantly be cornered and you will sin more. And you will think you have excuses. Life will corner you and sins will become easier. As it is happening to them. What strikes me is that at the time they are saying these kind of things, God had already said that they would die on the wilderness. And so the sentence of death was already on their heads. And yet they are now complaining still. Can you imagine? I've committed a huge offense already and they say, I will die. And then something else happens and I'm still complaining against the same God who has pronounced death upon me. They become daring. They become so courageous and bold in sin because now they're cornered, my dear friends. So friends, it is such a blessing to seek the Lord early. Please, how old are you? Are you a Christian? Have you sought the Lord and come to Him? Or you think you can delay? The danger is you become tougher and tougher in sin because life will corner you. And without faith in God, you would think the door of sin is the only way out. If you wouldn't trust God, then the way of sin will become a solution to you. Because you cannot find any other way out, you see. Think of a person who, nothing as a criticism, but supposing somebody is a jobless person. He doesn't have a job. And now he refused to work, he refused to go to school, and so he didn't pass any of the exams, so now he's jobless, and he's into his 20s, or perhaps even into his 30s, and so he's giving birth to two children. So jobless man. It happens in Ghana, isn't it? So he's still jobless because he has two children. And life is very hard. And I ask him, somebody offers him a job, and that job is to stake lottery. Would you take it or reject it? If you ever told him, don't do it, say, hey, you want to take food out of my mouth, isn't it? He thinks he has an excuse. And yet he doesn't know, he caused it at the beginning. If at the beginning, he had perhaps taken his studies seriously, and gone to school, and found a job, perhaps, he wouldn't have been cornered there. And he would think he has an excuse. But he doesn't. He doesn't have an excuse. You see, you brought yourself into that state. And this is what these people were doing. They brought themselves into that sad condition now, sinning against God, sinning so badly. Against speaking against God was easy. Oh, dear friends, they make an effect. Israel fue sa kwanti yu o eti yesi won abre and asse won mabe mu ebono won ka so no won ye e san se bro mo be du be die ya for kedesh banea na nche se o mutu kwan be se 3 days sa o be tu me du bosha sa se no so but bro mo be du ho no won ka sa ka che Moses se se be yan ko yan sma spy so mo boka ko che asase no so ya che se ho ye ana se nye an sa mo akọ. And so, Yankopon Penny, and I'm also smart, Sankofon. Sankofon, some year 12, now 10, and one more, any Irishim we radium. Ninu pet no more Irishim we radium. Tomobayano, on the car say, as I send it here, no more motels, the senator, or more than to do to Jomo aim to me, and pass our senator. Now, the Nina canoe a bombarding cell, mobile place we do, or mobile show on crime, some betraying Yankopon, who fool, empty. About some Mukha. Did you know a training catcher and said that's in chapter 14 of the same book? Almost sorry, I know in penning funny now, Papa funny man, if we know a bet now, one pound and a moose. And then they all, as I said, a crow must see on Cosson Crow, Mukos of Mimu, into Mukoso or Peso would do quiet. A son saying a me Peso Okumo Ewo, as I said, so the young couple, oh, Musi me Peso Mukumo. Okay, and the mamu mukodi. It says, "Obia wakasa semi etia meno. Mekumu asa semi. Chomo semi mekumu. Mekumu mekumu. Instead, instead, semi tu kwa 3 days a common say, no more coffee wash as a study, a month sandwich. Now, feed the moon fa idom as I send an infant in chain say, na monquara, na afidia. So, moko say no more costro, no more coffee, Jordan, so as some maga wash as I send them so. And in a moment, more cream to never a tinting tin, sir, may feed the among us so abominable. Near cassette, chair. When him says a woo, ye be a one by radio. Bra we and young, bra a fear echo sorrow. A bed dear mo be a mean cassa and ye ye, radiji or moko my impinning for crop, between your digi a song. But scripture catches him will be a cocker say, bra woo chain, a yet dear ma will be come. A son said, bra woo chain, one peso be radio. A brabon and cassa ebbe montano, I bet you choose, sir, because you say, I feel you, who be a bonnet, be brave, come. Now, sir, bonnet, who ye cry, why do they always say, drink your way? Today, be number way, sir. And so, only freeze one who shall say, one who shall say, one person will trade right in here. My dear friends, there's no alternative to a life of faith. If you wouldn't trust the Lord, all you would have opened before you would be a life of rebellion against God. And you would increase in that. And the life of faith means coming under the rule of the Lord Jesus Christ, saying, my whole life will be lived for the honor of the Lord. He will dictate for me what I do and what I don't do. And all my future will be cast upon Him. He will be my Lord and my all. This is what we mean by that life of faith. If you wouldn't do that, you will only increase in wickedness, my dear friends. And you become even daring in sin. I feel you crying, the way you're born in Tianyan Kupon, who bear not a good room of power. It's as what you may have said, century. Yesterday, we were giving our tracts in the front of the gate. And a few persons usually I'll be standing here. One of our brothers was active in this, I was standing, and he would make sure he gets right across them, because I'll be engaged in some conversation with others. So this brother would try to meet people and give them tracts. And was stricken by a few persons who didn't want to take the tract. But particularly one man's situation struck us. And so we began talking about it. The man looked at him and then simply facially inquired, what's that? And our brother said, oh, trapped. And he shrugged his shoulders, just shrugged his shoulders. And then went on. Well, we don't know him, so we can't say anything unfair towards him. That would be unfair. But we began to have a discussion and say that, what is it that could make people sometimes not want to hear anything about God or about Christianity? And we said, sometimes somebody may have treated them so badly. Perhaps a pastor. Pastors are very terrible to do them. And so they've drawn the conclusion and said, as for me, nothing. Christianity is bad, bad, bad. All the pastors in Ghana are nothing. And so have nothing to do with Christianity, nothing whatsoever. Well, he has his pains. Well, we don't know this man again. He has his pains. Perhaps the disappointment was a grave one, a serious one. And so he cannot criticize the person. But the trouble, once again, is he excusable? No, he isn't. He isn't. He isn't excusable. Because, you see, he wouldn't do the same thing every time. If you were sick and you went to one hospital and they disappointed you, said, as for me, my whole life, no hospital. Will anybody do that? When it comes to God, he wants an excuse to say, no more. Well, you see what people do. And yet the trouble is, if he had been a person who knows how to trust the Lord and has given his life to him, he would have had the wisdom of processing whatever happened to him. He is at fault. And be at fault, my dear friends. So, the more you delay, the more life will corner you, and you will think you have reason for why you now don't want to have anything to do with Christianity or God. But you will never have an excuse, my dear friends. You wouldn't. And so God judged them. Listen to our passage, verse 6. God sent them punishment. Verse 6. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people died. Can you think of the pain of the wilderness? And the people shrieking and screaming out of pain. fiery serpent. They call fiery serpent because of the effect a person felt when that snake bit him. Because the feeling, we are told, was something, a sensation as if fire was burning in your body. And you felt thirsty. And yet you could drink whatever number of amount of water, you still not be satisfied. That's why it was called fiery serpent. And so can you picture the whole wilderness, so many persons. These animals have been there all along, the Bible tells us. Only God in mercy had restrained them. Now he must let them go and punish them. As these people died, so death was the end of a number of them. My dear friends, it's a solemn thing. When you are toughening yourself against God, remember, death is at the corner. If I'm an unbeliever, my death will be a judgment of God. If I'm an unbeliever, the moment I die, it would have been God's judgment over me, saying, enough. Enough of your rebellion. If you're a Christian, the Lord Jesus Christ has taken the venom, the judgment out of death. So death becomes a vehicle, a servant, to carry us to himself. But until then, death is a threatening enemy. So whilst you think you have time to rebel against God, death may be out of corner. It's in the hands of God. He uses it, he does use it, against those who stand up against him. So what would be the remedy? God in mercy would show remedy by all means. So friends, look at what happened in verse 7. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpent from us." And Moses prayed for the people. It was good, it was beautiful that they acknowledged their sins. And they came seeking a way out. So they asked Moses to pray for them. And what is striking, can you picture the scenes in your mind? Here they are, people are bitten by serpents, having all these sensations in their bodies. This extreme discomfort before they died. As you have all these people, those bitten, scattered over the landscape. And those who had life and strength had gone to Moses to plead with him. Moses, pray to the Lord that he will remove these animals from killing us. And look at what the Lord said in verse 8. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." Now pause a moment. Probably you've not considered this carefully. How long will it take Moses to build up that brass serpent? Even if you should say a few hours. So for a few hours, there seemed to be no solution. These people must still be smitten by the snake. The process would go on. Moses would be erecting a brass serpent and eventually set it up on a pole. But in the meantime, death was still wreaking havoc among these people. My dear friends, you know why these records are important? Nothing that scripture says is said in vain. Because you see, Fred never make that mistake. There is no quick fix for sin. When it comes to sin, we must discover God's procedure for dealing with that and follow that. There's no quick fix anywhere. If I don't find God's own way and I want to devise anything for myself, it simply wouldn't work. You may give yourself some false hope and say, okay, I've done this, I think all my sins are forgiving me, something like that. You may live in that false hope, but it doesn't work until you know God's way. There is no quick fix for sin. And you know, God showed this again and again throughout the Old Testament.
when the people of Israel sent, when they erected the calf, the golden calf, and God punished them. When God was going to make provision for their forgiveness, God said they should erect a meeting place called the tabernacle, where the people could go and make sacrifices for sin. When our first parents fell in the garden, God pointed them to a Messiah to come. Their hopes lied in the future. There's no quick fix for sin. Only solution has to be what the Lord Himself gives us. We must listen to Him when it comes to dealing with sin. My dear friend, this is so important. In dealing with sin, we listen entirely to God and make sure we follow Him exactly as He tells us. And so, they were going to erect this brass serpent on a pole, and then the instruction was that if anybody was bitten, he should look upon that. Why this kind of solution? Because, my dear friends, throughout the whole Old Testament, before the Lord Jesus Christ came, all provisions, all arrangements God made concerning how to deal with sin were intended to show that sin can only be dealt with by the grace of God through the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was to come. And that if we receive blessing from Him, it has to come by faith. And so we say that throughout the Old Testament, the Lord showed again and again that salvation or dealing with sin has to come by grace through faith. What does that mean? By grace means that God alone can make provision for the remedy. God alone can give us the way to deal with sin. God alone must give that to us. We cannot create it ourselves. And not because we deserve it either. But God in His mercy must provide us that. By faith means that he that will receive that grace rests his hopes entirely upon God's solution. He throws away every other confidence. He throws away every other hope and says, this is God's provision. And my life rests upon that only. And so I go to Him and plead with Him to have mercy upon me. My dear friends, you see. And so through our scripture, this is why the Lord Jesus Christ said it. Friends, look at that statement. I'm sure you know. John chapter 3. The Lord Jesus Christ applying this to himself. Right? Yes, Christo. Eka said, Dia mosu siya eno. Se onsi sa wawo metal, no. And a brass, no. Eyem funini. And I say, picture, F on one, kasa ho. Na. John chapter 3 verses 14 and 15. And I'm sure you see how the Lord Jesus Christ spoke clearly about the 14 and 15. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have eternal life. That Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, has to be lifted up. I say, may Jesus Christ also. I will speak a little more about that later. But my point right now is to say that these were intended to show that salvation, right standing with God, has to come to us by grace. And we receive that by faith. Grace, like we said, means that only God must make that provision through the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing we can do, nothing we can contribute to. And then by faith means I throw away every confidence in myself, that I rest my hopes only on God's solution, God's remedy, the Lord Jesus Christ, who must be our sin bearer and our Lord and our friends. So the solution lies with the raised up serpent. That's what it said. Back to Numbers chapter 21. And the other internet, Yankopon Cassia say, or Cheyenne said, Yankopon said, or Pesel or your Bonihon, Ejuma, this will be not Dumunquan, this will Munquan, no bitch may be before your Bonihon. Nay, and Sabeke, they just say, Benin Chen with Gidia, Mujidia, I sit and say, Ya, Risham, you know, Equatridia, or Nuanca Sadia Mayeno, in Sir Radius Christian, or didn't mind, say, on bear your Bonihon Ejuma. And yet, Gideon said, what's that? Like I said, oh, okay, me claim by faith to some in Saka, Dabida, Sagan in the Bible. Gideon said, me tisan you may say, Radius Christian India, Yanko Pondi Mayan,
na medi marishim nyina ejina no so se ono ni ne oyemani bo ya fono ene me nyida so se nyankopon odi me beba ne nchen se di oka no ebo ayen bio isan se o se look at verse 8 and the Lord, Numbers chapter 21 verse 8, and the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. Now friends, this is the solution. So let's pick them one by one shortly, and I'll be done. And so look at the first thing was that Moses was to make the fiery serpent. So there'd be a similarity to the serpent that was biting them. So the same shape he would try to make it. And then he will mount it on a pole. Mount it on a pole. Why on a pole? Because everybody should see it. Because all that it would be required was for people to see, to look upon it. So it has to be hoisted high enough so that people could see the bronze serpent there. So you can imagine it has to be huge enough, isn't it? Because all these people that were traveling were something like around, if we were to add the children, there would be about 2 million people. The older persons would have been something around maybe 600,000 or so. If you added everybody, then that would be roughly, that's the rough estimate that they give it. And you have all these people in this wilderness, and you have to raise this pole with a serpent hanging on it, so that when I'm bitten, I can look upon that. Why should it be lifted up? My friends, because the Bible says the same thing. The Lord Jesus Christ has to be preached. We must tell everybody, look at what the Savior has done. All of us are sinners, needy sinners, worthless sinners, hopeless sinners. Look at what the Savior has done. He was made sin. The bronze serpent was like the biting serpent. The Lord Jesus Christ was made like sin. He was made sin for us. He was bearing the consequences of sin. The biting serpent were consequences of our sin. He that hangs there is the consequence of sin. He that hangs on the cross. And people must see this clearly. Before you can come to faith, you must clearly understand what the Savior did. Without proper hearing and understanding, you cannot truly believe. Please, understand this so clearly. So I don't know, a number of us here, if you went to a meeting, supposedly a Christian meeting, and the preacher spoke to you about how to become a billionaire, and then somewhere they said that, okay, but you have to become a Christian first. So if you want to become a Christian, walk forward and come and pray a certain prayer, and he told you nothing about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did, and you are coming to put your trust in him, well, you're coming to put your trust in what? What did you hear? What has he done? And so you see, it is, the Bible says again and again, no one would believe unless they hear. They must hear, so the serpent has to be raised high. You must sow grass, please. So, friends, why are we stressing this? It shows God's kindness. All that is required of you to be saved is to be a careful hearer. Listen carefully. Don't come to church, please. And just come. Learn to hear. Learn to listen carefully. Things that are precious to you. You listen carefully, isn't it? If you need a job, and somebody came along and said, hey, I have a job for you, and this will be the requirement, will you listen carefully? This is a good news to you. If you want to marry, and somebody comes along, and he seems to be a suitable partner, and he's talking about arrangements and plans for marriage, you listen carefully. These are sweet things to you. And so, friend, hearing is so important. Learn to hear carefully. And so, we tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ. We tell everybody of who he is. He's God himself, who took on human nature and came down. It is a wonder of all wonders. How can it be that God would come down and be like us, and yet sinless, and give his life on the cross of Calvary, and bear the punishment for sin? How can that be? We stand in amazement, and we are moved, and we want to understand, why did he come? You see, but Moses says, "Our war ni 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 nsa sono di si idiano sono." Eradi ka se so ye wi a on fancy idea so it said this so be ma so said obi a betumi ehun sa abotna na so owo no e ka no obetumi ahwe ye se adin tne yankopon ka so e san se sa Eradi Yesu Kristo no yankopon adin mind or din mind se ye nam no so e benya nko no e se ye ma no so e se ye ka no won some chene pinyina e so no the oyewo asendia no so no ye kachin in penina, said ye bea, a mube hunu sai radi chrono moban in chay, and yes, I won't to mean by radi in chay winino, and tesayeti, no wasa wasa. And the other thing is this, that look at the passage they gave verse 8, and the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. The Lord Jesus Christ will be crucified, so we must proclaim him as crucified Lord. And the Lord who triumphed over sin and death. And then it shall come to pass. Please pay attention to this. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is beaten, everyone that is beaten. It's a straightforward sentence. And it makes clear sense. But interestingly, when we are thinking of salvation, we don't think of it in the same straightforward way. What is it saying? Anyone that is beaten, let him look up. And then verse 9 tells us exactly that's what happened, verse 9. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had beaten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. If, why is this important? We say this that we don't want anybody to forget it. So we are saying it again and again and again. You will only look to the Lord Jesus Christ when you feel beaten by sin. Otherwise you won't look upon him. If anybody thinks he's a nice person, can you imagine? Can you picture the wilderness now? Somebody's walking around. He's not bitten by the serpent. He's healthy and moving and is happy and walking about. And people like Moses is walking through. The people are saying, hey, 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 look upon the serpent. You can actually look upon Moses' face. And then I just nod his head and say, oh, wonderful, wonderful. And then walk away. He's not been bitten. Unless you are bitten, you don't look. Unless you sense your sinfulness, you never desire a savior. This is why, friends, when people are so self-admiring, we say the problem is you hurting your salvation. You will never come to the Lord. You admire yourself. I'm a nice person. I know I'm a sinner. I've committed some bad things. We know, but overall, I am a reasonable person. I haven't gone to extremes as some people have done. All these kind of things. When you say this about yourself, you wouldn't come to the Lord. You will never come. You may hear about him. You may agree. You may admire. You will never come. Dear friend, have you felt bitten? Have you felt the weight of your sin? Are you anxious about your sin? Are you grieved? Do you want to be freed from that? One of our hymn writers says, I am tired of myself and sin. Are you tired? Are you saying, I don't want to go on this way anymore? My dear friends, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is never given to a sinner who hasn't felt bitten by sin. Because it is God's gift to the sinner who is screaming for mercy, who's anxious for pardon. And God's blessing to you is like Moses. Look at what the Savior has done. Oh, dear friend, never make that mistake, dear friends. So it is just a help when we tell you that our self-admiration is a lie. It's Satan's ploy to destroy us. The world talks about it. The world talks about self-confidence, believe yourself, and things like those. If they think it works for them, it never works before God. It never works for real, serious life. We come to God as needy sinners who need mercy, Moses to say, so one kawa, na we share the Amazon, one kawa, one share. Say, what you are doing, Christo Marsem, that's a womb we are passing. We are sad, the boy in our body and show us so. What bread, na what pesce radi you free mo. Womb she radi, womb she radi, Mr. Christo, womb bad and chain. Ube to your attin, Marsem, what you are sepa, which we create pre-church among folk. And so, one kasa, one man in chain there. Please, a more rain free there. So, every time it begins with what we call conviction of sin, a sense of the weight of my sinfulness, my sense of nothingness before God, when all my pride and self-admiration vanish, and now I come as a nigger in the place. Take God seriously on this. He is the one that will let you see His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. A radin one of the moon who radius Christ, you're born as sin, you know. Let's say, which you want us over, woman in chain. And so remember, we must be bitten. Have you felt bitten, friends? Are you worried over your life of sin? Not one or two sins, but that you are a sinner. Have you been anxious about that? Have you been grieved? Or you simply brush it aside? You don't want that to disturb you. Please, we brush that aside. You brush spiritual life aside. You brush salvation aside. Because you will never come. You will never truly repent. You will never truly trust in Him. You see, look at something else there in verse there. And the Lord said to Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, I beg your pardon, when he looketh upon it, all that you need to do is to look. It seems so simple, isn't it? Look, but what makes it simple is when you are bitten. When I'm bitten and I'm anxious for a cure, the look becomes a thing I agreeably do because I am bitten. And it's only look upon the Lord Jesus Christ. To be saved is not a difficulty. The difficulty is with us. It's when I don't want to be sincere, when I don't want to really take God seriously, it becomes a very complicated thing. But how simple it is. I am a sinner. I am anxious about my condition. God says, the Lord Jesus Christ paid the penalty for sin, and you can be forgiven and changed. Can't you see how simple it is? I can then come to Him and find mercy. The trouble is, sometimes I don't want to be that sincere. Sometimes I'm not anxious about my sin. Only one or two naughty sins I'm worried about. Otherwise, I'm a nice person. I feel a nice person. And so, of course, I don't see the Savior. I don't come to Him. I don't really repent. I don't really desire Him. I still want to run my own life and govern aspect of it, you see. And so you don't really come to Him. Look means you only rest all your hopes upon this brass. And it seems funny. I am bitten. All I have to do is look. And yet we are told, they that did live. God kept His word. You see, there's a miracle here, can't you see? How did it happen? I was bitten by a real snake. What Moses hung there is only a brass. How could it be that when I'm bitten by a real snake, I look upon a brass snake and I'm healed? Meanwhile, I see others die right here. Others perhaps who will not look or who didn't, when they died before the serpent was erected there. And so you see, the miraculous part is intended here. When I look upon the Lord, when I come as a sinner, and I rest all my hopes upon the Lord, why do I rest my hopes upon? Because this is what God has said. This is what Moses has said. Look upon the serpent. God has said, only what the Lord Jesus Christ did when He bore the penalty for sin is what saves me. And I rest all my hopes upon that. And when I do, God works a miracle in my heart. God Himself is the one at work. I rest my hopes upon the Lord Jesus. God must work the wonder. in my heart. Salvation is not becoming a Christian. It's not just learning teachings. It's not understanding. They are very precious and important, but it is God working a miracle in the heart. So that when I came yielding my life to the Savior, saying, "Oh Lord, I've been such a wretched sinner. Here am I. I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. I have no confidence in myself. I cannot look upon me and admire anything in me. I am ashamed of myself only. The Lord Jesus Christ bore the penalty for sin, and He must be my Savior and must bring me to Himself." If the condition is if I am sincere, it is God who works in me a miracle, washing away my sin and putting a new nature there, a new heart, a new principle, so I can live the Christian life. Friends, I'm closing, but let me remind you of this. Years later, just to prove the miracle of this, several years later, some of the people of Israel decided to go back. Moses was dead, but this brass was evidently kept with the people of Israel. In the days of a king called Hezekiah, some people got up and said, "Oh, where was that brass that Moses used on the wilderness? We're going to erect it too, so it can work wonders for us." That was what they seemed to desire. And when Hezekiah, the king at the time, because he knew the Lord and he understood the way God works, when he heard them do that, the Bible says he told the people, "This is just a piece of brass. This is just a piece of brass. Hey, Hezekiah, this has worked wonders before. Be careful what you are saying." Hezekiah said, "No, it's a piece of brass." You know why? Because Hezekiah and those who truly trusted in the Lord understood that it wasn't the brass serpent that is doing something. It is God. The sinner that comes to trust his hopes upon the Lord Jesus Christ, it is not your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that is going to secure the thing. God requires faith, because faith makes you empty, makes you dependent, makes you look to God only. But it is God who brings down the blessing upon us. Never forget that. And this is so important, so that, friends, we can always tell people, when you say, "I am trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ," equally ask yourself, "Has God heard me? And has He blessed me?" Because what if my faith was not true? What if my faith was only half-hearted? What if it was a sham? And so we always want to stress to people, look to God to work in your heart, because it is the work of God. He wants me to come by faith, rest my hopes upon Him. He promises He will bless it. He must work to bring me to Himself. Never forget, it is God who must work in me and bless me. Sinibi radiha, kaise radi nankasa, no SSA, or ye jmo mi krem, semibanin chain, nami betri radi yesu kriso china nadishi bocha noa, nesami de mreni na tri noa mpa, e radi shabo se, obey jmo mi krem, kaise, on nuna wa shabo, on nuna SSO yesa ejmano, shese, wa yesa ejmano, also to one of my child, no a boa kuma fofro ama, shese, Wayana, and that one motrim will be shessing and cupola, or see obey a jumo with me crimson, me banning chain, me tree radius, the crystal said, or no china, this she boja man, me boy affirm, me bobby shaman, Wayana. It's as obedient as them, sir. Sir, I quite a cobasse. Oh, margin, you miss a mutre radius, the crystal. As the young cupon cast our bay and see ya, nay, young cupon winding us, sir. Bibia apachman. Bibi enaye me a mese me train no ebia na nyano kra ebia na ya fane fan ebia na bi kra me kra me ti ase mpo o hwe kai se nyankopon no ne nyano nyankopon no ba ne nche so be hu no do na se bra oji die mu chwe radi yesu kristo pa funi tun so se sai wo ba pa onno onnyankopon na kasa
no Israel, no Acho, no Abeno Kupumba. Many more are my different. Have you felt your sin weigh on your heart? Would you come? Would you want the Lord to deal with you and bless you? Let's pray together.